Tejal, and thank you for speaking with me this morning. We wanted to talk with you about your explorations of poetry. You are the author of Illusions of This World, Liberating Divine Love. And this is, I believe, your first book of poetry. And I think also, from what I remember hearing, really represents your first foray into the literary style of poetry. Is that true?
That is true. I mean, outside of the forced haikus we'd have to write in high school, I had not written poetry before.
So tell us a little bit about how poetry came into your life.
So it was actually a complete surprise to me at the time. I was going through a lot of shedding of identity. My mother had passed away. I had some significant health issues. My children were growing up and leaving the home. I had sold a business that I had poured my heart out into, and without having any plans for what was next. And I had a desire to write, but I had thought that I was going to be writing essays on leadership and systemic change, because that's really what my career was about. But when I would try to write, it came out really performative, and something within me was saying no. And so I actually decided I was not going to write and just spend time healing and just being. And in that time, I took a spiritual workshop where the instructor asked us about what our soul desires. And I contemplated that and I went to sleep. And when I woke up in the morning, I woke up, popped awake at 4 in the morning, and out came these words. It's the poem's called Secret Soul Longing. Intimacy. Secret soul longing. So close that other ceases to exist. Penetrating shiny veneers, hiding darkness. Releasing beauty in cosmic rapture. Loving so tenderly the tangle.
And so that sort of emerged whole at 4 in the morning.
Yes, complete. I haven't changed a word of it since it came down on paper. And when I looked at it, it felt like it was vibrating with its own life force. I had not expected that.
So looking at it now, what do you think was happening? Why do you think that poem came through you at that time?
I think one is I was finally available for the message to come through. My defenses were down, and unfortunately it was the hard way, because I was putting up a lot of defenses in my life, and I was pretty raw at that time. And I think that with the prompt, I was just open and available to it, which is the reason I think it came then.
And why in poetry? Do you have a sense? Because my memory is that you were a writer in the sense that you kept journals. And so this didn't come out as a journal entry. It came out specifically as a poem. Why
Yes.
do you think that is?
So you're correct. I have been writing for years, journals and essays and presentations, all kinds of things except poetry. At the time, I didn't know why it came out as a poem. But looking back, I feel as though it's the closest to the essence of the divine, which really is essence, not even words. And so it just feels like just on the other side of that veil between unmanifest and manifest, between oneness and duality. Is the words have a potency to them, and a lot of them are words that I would normally not choose in my everyday thoughts. So I think poetry just distills the essence as potent as it can be, without a lot of thought or judgment or rationalization or any of those things that tend to get in the way of writing.
And I guess that's, one of the things that's interesting about poetry, and we have to, poetry can be used in the, we can talk about writing poetically, right? So what does that mean, writing poetically? I mean, it typically means beautiful, means it means imaginatively, it means so the words sound a certain way. They're not cold and declarative or cold and descriptive or explanatory. They're more flowery, if you will. But it also means there is an inherent ambiguity to the meaning. They don't, you can't read a poem and know exactly what it's saying. And I think that's one of the things I find beautiful about poetry. It's what the romantic poets appreciated, and they felt poetry was the best literary style for communicating the ineffable, because it wasn't trying to nail things down. It's really trying to gesture your own attention in a certain direction, so that you find what the poem is pointing to. So the poems have this interesting way of pointing away from themselves toward the reality they want to convey. And I find that in most poetry, I guess most po all poetry probably that I've read, and I definitely find that in yours, that there's something being gestured toward that you're not going to find the answer in the words. You're going to find the answer in the direction the words are pointing you to. And I would love to hear your how that lands with you, how you experience that or not in poetry, both yours and others.
Yeah, I think you stated it beautifully, that gesturing towards the ineffable, because the ineffable can't really be described. And so it absolutely resonates with me. I think for me also, I didn't study the academics of poetry, so I haven't studied meter or rhyme or all of those elements. And so it wasn't even about whether the poem was good from those elements. It was, does it stir something? And I love that you said that it's really about what it evokes in someone. So it's not even about understanding the meaning of the poem, because that too is using that rational side of our mind. It's really about what emotion or insight or stirring does it evoke within you? And I think that's the power of poetry. People ask me, like, what was I thinking at the time writing it? I mean, this one I happen to know and remember, but a lot of them I don't specifically remember what was happening at the time. And when people read the poems and tell me what it evokes for them, it might evoke something slightly different for them, but still equally as beautiful.
Now, I want to point out that the poem you just read to us, which you said was the first one that you wrote, this actually occurs on the 112th page of your book. So there's many poems prior to that. So tell us a little bit about the structure of the book and why, because all of the poems were written after that, obviously, because that was the first. Why did you structure the book in this particular way? How did that happen?
Well, I started after this first poem, poems just started spilling out of me one after the other. And it was at about 10 poems, I started sharing them with people. And then maybe at about 20 poems or so, I thought this might become something, but I didn't really know what it was. And so it wasn't until I got to about 60 poems that I laid them out and tried to see what was the story that was being told here. So none of the poems in the book are actually in the order in which they were written, which I think really reflects our life. Our life is not linear, it's spirals. And so these different elements, though the book looks like it's linear, it's actually, to me, it's spiraling. We're always circling around these different themes.
So, one of the things that I've been fascinated by recently is what I'm referring to as mythopoetic awakening. And the idea of a mythopoetic awakening is that those of us who are writers, we tend to write about our experience as a way to process what's happening. So we write about the experiences we have along our awakening journey as a way of processing what's occurring for us. But it's also true that our writing about it, our taking experiences, which are inherently always ineffable, they can't be completely described, turning them into words that can be understood requires a certain amount of interpretation and shaping. And so as we articulate what occurs for us on the path, we're also shaping the path. So we're not just sort of reporting to ourselves on it. We're not even just processing what's happening. We're also co-authoring our awakening process. And I would like to know what your experience of that was as these poems were coming through and you were articulating them. Could you see that you were actively participating in an awakening process?
Yeah, absolutely. And a lot of dimensions. As you said, there are definitely ones that you will read in the book that are me processing trauma and different life experiences that I believe are common to many of us humans. But then there were messages that felt like callings that were coming from another place, another dimension. And I would be It was almost like I'm taking down the download and dictating what needs to be, what was trying to be said through me. And then afterwards, I would encounter experiences that would reveal more of what the poem already had afterwards. So it felt like, yes, all parts of the transformation process, the working of the karma from the past, the mo being in the actual moment and feeling the shifts in the messages, and then this calling that one could say from the future, from another dimension that was coming through me.
And so there was a period of time, as you just described, where poems were just coming. How frequently were they coming?
It would ebb and flow. So there would be weeks where I would write one poem every 2 days, and they would spill out. And then there would be a period of time, which could go weeks, where there wouldn't be a single poem. There was even one stretch of time where it was 2 months where I hadn't written a poem, and then all of a sudden it started again.
And then was there a moment where you realized, like, this collection was done?
I struggled with it being done because the poems were still coming. But I had a friend advise me that at some point it's probably good to put a stake in the ground and say it was done. So I did, and it felt complete enough in the sense that I wasn't actively writing the next poem at the time. It felt like it was at the time where Yeah, it felt complete enough, and I knew that there was more to come. So that part is exciting me.
And so now when you look at this book, can you identify it as a singular journey? I mean, was this a journey you were meant to take that has sort of a beginning, a middle, and an end, even though there's another book coming and more poems coming, but was this some kind of I guess I want to think about it as an initiation, but I'm wondering how you feel about this book in relationship to your path.
It does feel like the initiation. I have a sense that there's de well, there's definitely a second book, and I feel like there may be a third one. And this whole first book is exactly what the title states, which is working through the illusions of this world and liberating that divine love that's within me. And so that is initiatory. And so I absolutely felt like it was me going through so many of the dimensions of processing identity and illusions so that I could have be in a mental, emotional, spiritual, physical state to be able to really allow love to flow through me.
And now that the book's published, because the interesting thing is that whole journey with poetry from one point of view, it didn't have to happen. You surrendered to it. You felt the compulsion and then you wrote them down. And we can't do this. We can't do like a split experiment, but it would be interesting to me. If we could split the world in two, and in one world, you surrendered to the impulse to write the poetry, which is the world we're in, and the other world, for whatever reason, you didn't. And I say this because I think a lot of people have this impulse, and probably many don't surrender to it for one reason or another. They have ideas that they can't write poetry or they don't have time. What do you think would have been the result of that experiment if you were able to run it? What would have been the difference between the poetry Tejal and the non-poetry Tejal?
Oh, I almost don't even want to think about it. I feel like, the poetry Tejal is certainly a work in progress and growing. But the poetry Tejal is much more embodied in her life, expressive, not just in poetry, but in dance, in her relationships, in just living life more fully. I think the non-poetry Tejal would be really struggling. I think continuing to try to, be in the world and all the roles that she has in her life, but feeling hollow inside. And I think at some point it would probably be too much, physically, mentally. I almost don't even want to think about the world without where Tejal doesn't write poetry.
Then a follow-up question to that, because our issue is on the transformative power of poetry. And obviously, from what you just said, poetry has had a transformative effect on your life. How would you describe the transformative power of poetry as you've experienced it through this process?
It's on multiple levels. First of all, the process of writing poetry and what that has meant to how I live my life has been transformative. So poetry requires a lot of space and stillness and the ability to sit with discomfort and allow expression to flow through. So I couldn't have a life where I was constantly busy and distracted, and didn't have give myself the space and the slowness. So it's changed how I actually live my life. And I would say the other part is that you talk about mythopoetic awakening. I feel like poetry has been that portal for me. That through poetry, I am embracing identities of being a poetic mystic, of being a dancer, of being a sorceress of sorts. And so, and I walk through the world, with that within me, and I think poetry has helped me see that within myself.
I love what you just said, which is that the literary form of poetry, which is more flowing and free, engaging with that in writing is translates into your life as you embracing a more flowing and free existence and a more flowing and free identity. And I think that's very, very interesting. I love the term, I think you said poetic mystic. I think it's interesting because one of the things we want to do with this issue, it's not really just about poetry. We also want it to be an enticement and an invitation to more people to write poetry. I think poetry has an enormous amount of potential as a mythopoetic tool for awakening. And I hope that our issue in this conversation encourages people to embark on their own journey with poetry. If someone were contemplating a journey in poetry, how would you advise them?
First of all, I would say that to not set the intention of writing good poetry, but is it poetry that stirs your soul? Allow that to be the grounding intention. I think also a sense of playfulness, even in topics that feel dark or deep, there is an element of a playfulness, and I almost feel as though I'm dancing with the divine, or some call it the muse, or whatever that essence is. There is a conversation that's happening there, and so if getting into that space of allowing it to be a conversation, and seeing what emerges from there, and allowing yourself to be surprised by it, is also beautiful. And then I would say, I do think reading other people's poetry is always inspiring, just allows you to sense in with it. When I read other people's poetry, I'm able to access parts of myself that then I can express within my own poetry as well.
Beautiful. Well, thank you so much for sharing with us today, and I look forward to seeing how your poetry continues to grow and to develop. And I know that you also have led writers' workshops, and so I in that way, are you engaged in supporting people to develop their own writing habit, so to speak?
I have been a part of a number of writers' workshops, and the part that I tend to play within those workshops is to spark desire in people to continue the journey. Because as you had said at the start of the interview, I think there are many people who have the impulse to do it, but so much of their own conditioning or beliefs get in the way of actually moving forward. And so that's really what I hope to do, is to inspire people to keep going on that journey.
Thank you so much, Tejal. It's been a pleasure to talk to you.
You so much. It's been an honor.